I am Nati Ndlovu, and this is TCS Plus, brought to you today by First Distribution. Incidents of cybersecurity breaches are on the rise in South Africa and the rest of the world. With AI tools at their disposal, criminals are not only sharpening, but also scaling up their attacks, making it likelier that any one particular organization will be breached. With the risk of a cyber attack so high, organizations are forced to look beyond merely beefing up security. They must prepare for the unfortunate event where their systems are breached. This is the third in a series of three podcasts on how to manage cyber crises. In this episode, Kejen Pele, who is Microsoft Portfolio Manager at First Distribution, is back to share some key lessons from recent high-profile cyber attacks. Kejen, hello, and yes, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me back.
It's a pleasure. It's only a pleasure. Kejen, today, so we've spoken about, we've discussed what a cyber crisis is, mm-hmm. and then we've looked at ways in which organizations can plan around a cyber crisis and respond. Mm-hmm. Today, we're looking at some of the crises that we've already mm-hmm. happened, some mm-hmm. high-profile cases in South Africa, and saying what lessons perhaps can be learned mm-hmm. From what has happened. The first one we're looking at is TransUnion. Yes. It was in March of 2022.
100%.
And it was quite a big one. I mean, yeah. 5.2 million records were compromised. Yeah. And there was a ransom demand of 15 million US dollars. Mm-hmm. What's interesting here is that the group, you know, they made that demand, but then it was refused.
Yeah.
And that raises an interesting question. How does an organization rationalize whether to give or to deny a ransom demand?
Look, that is a bit of a tricky question, hey? Mm-hmm. Because the thing is, at the end of the day, it is your data, right? Mm-hmm. If not belonging to you as an organization, belonging to the people of South Africa. Mm-hmm. So take into account, TransUnion is, I mean, one of the biggest companies in SA that holds a lot of our data, mm-hmm. right? I mean, 56 million records of people, including mm-hmm. the president, by
yes.
the way. So, I mean, if that kind of data is leaked, then you as an organization, the question is, you know, how do we basically handle this? So what TransUnion obviously did was, yes, they declined the demand because it was not 100% known. And I mean, it's not a known thing that you're actually going to get your data back, right? It could be the case of where, yes, we've paid the money, yes. but then what now? Mm-hmm. Right. So it's like your car getting stolen and someone phones you and says, "Ha, your car is stolen. Meet me here in Marlboro.
Yes.
You know, pay me R1 million and yes, you can have it back." Mm-hmm. But then again, are you sure?
There's no guarantee
that you are going to get it back.
Yes.
So that is the issue. So I think the rightful steps is obviously you get in your IT department. Your IT department is going to do the insights. You get the cybersecurity companies involved to come mm-hmm. and obviously assess your organization to mm-hmm. understand where the attack came from, how did it happen, mm-hmm. what is the gaps in your environment, where are the holes in your organization, mm-hmm. how did these guys even get in? Mm-hmm. So you need to analyze those kind of things just before, you know, paying someone and not mm-hmm. having the guarantee of getting your data back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So make sure that you can reset your systems quickly.
Yes.
And go on without necessarily.
Exactly.
Without whatever you've lost.
100%.
Okay.
And that's why we talk about backup so often.
Mm.
So very often customers obviously have, you know, let's call it an on-premise server. Mm. It's sitting in your office, right?
Yes.
But then think about like one more step ahead of just someone attacking your environment and stealing your data. Mm-hmm. What happens if there's a flood? What happens if there's a fire?
Mm-hmm.
So if you had a server that holds your entire data and your organization's life mm-hmm. just goes away tomorrow,
yes.
how is your organization going to run? Mm-hmm. Right? Again, organization, your data is your most prized possession, right? So always have three copies mm-hmm. of your backup mm-hmm. and store it in two different places. So yes, you can have an on-premise server, but also have a cloud version of your backup mm-hmm. so that if something like this happens, you can always contain where that attack has happened. So mm-hmm. if it has happened in a specific place on your on-premise server, mm-hmm. contain it and then switch to your failover server, which is probably sitting in the cloud, mm-hmm. most likely, hopefully,
yes. Yes.
and then your company can then continue working.
On. Yep. Okay. When major breaches like this where public data is shared happen, individuals become secondary targets. You know, if they can't get anything out of the organization, then they come for you and I. How are we supposed to then respond to any threats following a breach like that?
So there's so much going on in the world right now, and there's so much going on social media, right? I mean, you know, you got to be vigilant at all times. You got to be vigilant as to, you know, the links that you kind of click on, the things that companies actually use to, you know, pull you in and try and like spark your interest. I mean, we all love sales. We all love things. We all love, you know, free holidays. Like, you know, when companies start posting stuff like that, like, ask yourself a question. Go and do your research as an individual. Look if that company actually exists, if it is legit, right? Because if you're clicking on a link from them, and then now you're filling in your information, you're putting in your email address, and you're playing some sort of, you know, spin the wheel game, and, you know, trying to win some free money. And, you know, those are the kind of things that that individuals need to obviously look for. And then once you, as an individual, you kind of spot, like, what is, you know, real and what's not real, then you can obviously apply the same principles in your organization. Because just as important as your organizational data is, your personal data is just the same, right? Anyone can obviously, you know, hold your data ransom. So often, cyber criminals get in touch with the person by looking at their likes and dislikes. So they look at things that, you know, maybe on Facebook, maybe they went somewhere, maybe there's some sort of special shoe that they use and some sort of brand that they like, and they start posting things like that, and that's how they hook you. And that's a phishing attack, right? So when they fish information out of you as an individual, you start clicking on these links, and then you start allowing the cyber criminal into your life because now they've got a way and they found a gap, they found a hole.
Okay. So what other lessons do you think we can glean from the TransUnion hack?
So again, I think, you know, companies are very reactive rather than proactive, right? And TransUnion, I mean, they are, again, one of the biggest companies in South Africa. You're not just holding any information. You're holding very pertinent information to you as a user, right? The entire of South Africa was completely up in arms because at that point in time, when TransUnion obviously didn't want to pay the ransom, then the company that was attacking TransUnion obviously put a threat out there and said, you know, we're leaking all the data. So now the entire South Africa was up in arms because they were worried about their ID numbers and their bank account details. And it's information that is pertinent to us, right? So when it's a company like this, right, you're holding very, very important information. You cannot go for low-cost cybersecurity solutions. You cannot go for the cheapest product. You've got to look for something that's going to be the best for your organization in order to protect you. 210%, not just 100%, right? So yes, some cybersecurity features or, you know, security features in an organization is going to be very expensive, but think about it in the long term. It is going to protect the data and it is going to serve you right. Rather than you come into the situation right now and then what if we didn't get that data back? What if those cyber criminals held onto the data and never gave it back and we couldn't get back into TransUnion's sites and we couldn't access our information again and everyone's credit records were then all of a sudden erased, right? So those are the kind of effects.
So it's more expensive in the long run.
100%. Yeah. More expensive in the long run. I mean, you're paying like other third-party companies now to come in and help you. But I mean, if you had the correct security technologies the first time around, then that wouldn't have happened.
Save, exactly. All right. Let's now look at CIPC. CIPC happened in Feb 2024. And these hackers were very interesting because once the breach was made public, they then went to the media and started saying things like, hey, we've been in these systems for X number of years and saying all sorts of things. What would they benefit from a strategy like that?
So basically, it's reputational damage for the company, right? So if you put in the name out there of the company, and this is obviously what has happened, the public, again, is going to go up in arms, right? Now, you're creating that public pain. Now, when the public sees things like this, what happens? Everyone then goes on a social riot, and it's emotional. And, you know, it kind of would assist the company who's attacking the company. It accelerates decision-making. Because now the company that's under attack is obviously now stuck between a rock and a hard place, for a lack of a better term.
Yes.
Now you need to make a decision quick, because now the public is obviously shaming you. And, you know, you get these reviews and you get these Facebook posts and TikTok. And you know how people get on social media, right? So public pressure.
Yes.
So that was the idea of going to public.
And if I'm asking for a ransom and putting pressure on you, you might maybe more likely to say, okay, 100%. Let's pay these guys and solve this problem. So publicizing a breach is part of POPIA legislation. You need to make the public aware that your systems have been compromised.
Yep.
But does that then, you know, putting it in the public sphere, does that make you vulnerable to other types of scammers who weren't necessarily involved in the breach but now see an opportunity to exploit the situation?
So, yes. I mean, maybe not with the same company that's under attack, but probably with a different company in a similar industry. Mm-hmm. But just like that, where that kind of information being put out to the public is making the cyber criminal smarter in attacking a company that's very similar in the same industry. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to also make the companies in the same industry a lot more smarter.
Yes.
Also in understanding, that has happened let me be smarter. Let me go do these checks. You know, is my security posture correct? Do we have these things in place? You know, is this going to happen to me tomorrow? So very often as a human being, it's a normal, feeling to say, you know, that has happened, but now can it happen to me?
Yes.
And that's what, you know, it has pros and cons of putting something out there in the public.
Yes.
But it's also supposed to make companies a lot more, you know, well aware of what is going out into the world. So.
Okay. And the CIPC, when this happened, they said that as soon as they detected the breach in their firewall, they shut their systems down.
Yeah.
Now, a disadvantage of that was that obviously for a certain amount of time, people could not interact with their systems. Mm-hmm. But is it commonplace to say, you know what, I'm switching everything off until I figure out?
Yeah. Look, it is a good tactic to have because remember that when you access in CIPC, what are you doing? You're accessing it on a web browser, right? You're putting in your login details as a user.
Mm.
Now, once you are in that system as a user, and if that organization is under attack, it also puts you as an individual in the vulnerable state.
Uh-huh.
So shutting that entire system down was the best move because what can happen is if I'm logged into my laptop, and that organization is currently under attack, the cyber criminals can use that as an entrance way into my systems.
Okay.
So shutting that system down was the best thing to do.
Okay. And I think you've mentioned this before. Mm. If you have backups, you just rely on your backups.
100%. Yeah. So I would assume, and I'm probably sure that CIPC did have backups.
Yes.
So shutting that system down, they probably had a failover that they could have rerouted their customers to. Okay. I mean, it's not something that you and I can see with the naked eye.
Of course.
But I mean, at some point, there would have been downtime.
Okay.
But obviously, their systems came back up and then they were able to, you know, find the problem, detect it, and obviously resolve it as, you know, the users continued.
All right. Now, looking at this next one, this one is National Health Laboratory Service. This was in June of 2024. And this was interesting because it was confirmed that it happened through a phishing link that one of the employees clicked from an email.
Yeah.
It highlighted the importance again of vigilance and training, which you spoke to. Why is that so important to train staff?
Yeah,
in cybersecurity.
So exactly this. I mean, you know, it's so important for us to understand as an individual, you know, the level of information and data that is held in our organization, right? Mm. So some of the things we do is, you know, attack simulation training at an end user level, because that's where it all starts, right? Mm. Your IT guys are obviously very smart, which is why they are IT guys in your organization.
Mm.
But as a user, you don't have that eye level that the IT admins have. And you're not going to pick up on certain things, right?
Yeah.
Unless you are taught to. So if we host workshops around, you know, what to look for, you know, what is a phishing attack? What does it look like?
Mm-hmm.
Why does that document not look correct? Why does that email address not look correct?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the kind of things to look for.
Mm-hmm.
If your CEO is sending you an email, you know, is his email address correct? Like, why is he sending me an email? He doesn't even speak to me, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, those are the kind of things that we train users on from a user level, because your users are the easiest way to get into your organization.
Okay. And the information regulator after this breach launched an investigation into whether the NHLS was POPIA compliant.
Mm-hmm.
when businesses go through their POPIA compliance, does that actually help their cybersecurity posture?
So yes, it does, because it helps the company to understand what is their critical business planning if something like this should happen. Uh-huh. It talks to your incident response planning if something like this should happen. Mm-hmm. So if they aren't POPIA compliant, mm-hmm. and if it doesn't align with what they have put in place, let's say 3, 5, 10 years ago, mm-hmm. in terms of their security and how to protect their data, mm-hmm. then you are violating the POPIA Act. Right? Okay. Because you're violating very important information mm-hmm. that's not only pertinent to you as an organization, but it's mm-hmm. also pertinent to your customers, mm-hmm. People that rely on your systems. Mm-hmm. So yes, it helps you as an organization build out a better strategy mm-hmm. And obviously look for the gaps in your organization and mm-hmm. how you're going to obviously better it in the future.
All right. Kijen, thank you once again for your insights and your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. That is Kijen Pile. She is Microsoft Portfolio Manager at First Distribution.